We're doing Parashat Ki Tetzé, and we're holding Perek Chaf Bet, the 22nd chapter, Pasuk Chaf Hei, the 25th Pasuk. And the Torah had just told us about a person that rapes a girl who's engaged, who has Kiddushin. And then he gets if he seduces her, so they both get the death penalty because she's really a married woman. There's minuscule difference between engaged and married if it is biblical engagement, if it is Kiddushin. Erus and Kiddushin is the one and the same. There's a minimal difference. So she's really a married woman, and they both willingly had adultery. They get the death penalty. So Pasuk Chafei says, "Vim basadein tzayishet anara morasa," and if he finds her in the field, the chazikba, and he grabs her, haish, the guy, the shachavima, and he sleeps with her. Umet haish, asho shachavima levado. He alone will be executed. Velanara lo tase la davar, and to the girl, don't do anything. En lanara chet mavet. She doesn't have a sin of death. Ki kasha yakum ish al reu utsacho nefesh, ken adavar hazeh. Because just like a person could jump upon his friend and murder him, so too here. Ki basademitza, he found her out in the field. She yelled. Then Moshe, and there was no one around to save her. So it's not her fault. So from here we derive an onus rachmana patre. When something is beyond one's control, then the Torah absolves him from payment. The Torah says he is patur. So we derive it from here. Onus rachmana patre. Onus, something that is beyond one's control. The Torah says he is patur.
From punishment,
right. And here we derive that if someone tries to rape a man or a woman, we can kill him. The Torah says, "En la narachet mavet." She hasn't done something that is that deserves the death penalty, but he has. And therefore, if one witnesses someone else trying to rape either a man or a woman, then we derive from here, na'ara is spelled na'ar, lad, so it doesn't matter if it's a boy or a girl, we can kill the person who's trying to do it. We consider it as though the pasuk equates it with a murder. The pasuk equates rape with murder. The pasuk says, kasho yakum ish al re'eu. Just like someone pounces on his friend and kills him, so too here.
In the next pasuk, it doesn't say that.
That's talking about something else. Wait, we'll get there. Here we're talking about a girl that was engaged. This is a nara me'orasa.
You said if someone tries raping a woman, then he can be killed.
Someone, if she's a married woman, or it's married. A girl, or it's a guy. Here you see that if someone is molesting a child, the Torah tells us that if once it becomes sexual, that's like murdering the kid.
If she's married.
But for a boy, even if he isn't married, and for a girl, the Torah doesn't tell us that it's not. The Torah just tells us that it's not a situation where he gets a death penalty. We say she was not a married woman. I don't think that makes it. It's still a biblical prohibition.
Right.
It's still a violation of the person.
Doesn't this really seem like he has no death penalty? He has to pay money, and then that's really it. And he gets to marry her.
He doesn't get to marry her, only if she wants to marry him. Let's see that. That's the next pasuk. Ki imtza ish, if a person finds a na'ara betula, a virgin girl, asher lo orasa, that was not engaged. She's a single girl. Utpasa v'shachav imah v'nimtzau. And he grabs her and sleeps with her, against her consent. And then they're found. V'natana isha shochev ima la'avi anara 50 kasef. He has to pay a tax of 50 silver coins. V'lo tiye li'isha. And she is his wife against his better judgment. Whether he likes it or not, she is his wife, provided she wants to be his wife. Tachat asher ina, being that he afflicted her, lo yuchal shanecha kol yamav. He cannot send her throughout his days. He is obligated to remain married to her. Yeah?
Yeah, so what I'm saying is that it's not like he gets much of a punishment here.
Well, no. He pays the knas of 50 silver coins. He pays the boshet. He pays her whatever the shame he caused her. He pays her pagam. He pays her the amount that she is, so to speak, worth less. How much he harmed her. and he pays her tsar, he pays her pain.
It's all payment.
What?
It's all payment.
What do you want him to do?
I mean, rape, at least in modern judicial, like, secular endeavor, it's considered very serious, and here it doesn't sound like it's so serious.
So,
money, okay, but in America, you go to jail for who knows how long.
Right. You're saying it would seem that he should get a harsher punishment.
Not very strict on this guy.
How much is 50 silver coins? How much is 50 silver coins in today's money? 50 silver coins in today's money would be approximately $10,000.
When you pay, but it doesn't matter how much it is. When you pay money, it seems like all he really did is monetary damage. But he did much more than that. He actually.
You say he has to pay her for her
moral prohibition, and it doesn't sound like he gets penalized on that at all.
Well, on that, there are two aspects. What he hurt her. So we say, let's break down the pain into a few categories.
He ruined her life.
Wait, so why did he ruin her life? In which respect? That she'll never be able to get married? So the Torah says, what can I do for this girl now? What I can do for her is tell her that if she wants, he's obligated to be her husband for life. Now you have to remember, marriage in their days was different than in our days. But at any rate, that's what the Torah does for as far as marriage.
Maybe if there was a stronger punishment, like, you know, motumat, let's say, that would be a much bigger deterrent, and then this girl's life wouldn't get ruined.
That's what you're saying. I hear. Look, it's always difficult to say.
After the fact, it sounds good. You know, like what can the Torah do after the fact? But the Torah is, you know. Like,
you're saying the punishment should be a deterrent. So first of all,
a lot of stuff that you get multi-month, and for this, you know, all you think is payment.
You're saying all. I'm not sure it's all. I mean, it's a lot of money.
What happens if you can't pay her the money?
So we'll sell him as a slave to pay the money.
And then she can't marry him.
I don't know.
And then it doesn't help her at all.
I don't know. I hear your question. In general, on questions of why, I always find it difficult. I don't know why God said one thing or the other. As best as I can understand. I hear your question. Okay. The Mishnah says, Lo yikach ish. The Torah says, Lo yikach ish. Et eshet aviv. V'lo yigale kenaf aviv. Person is not allowed to marry his father's wife. He should not reveal his father's kenaf, is like the edge of his cloak, the extension of his. That's how they translate it?
No.
Okay, kenaf really means his cape, his talis. We know that a husband is described as spreading his wing over his wife, spreading his talus over his wife. So here it's revealing his father's wings, so to speak, revealing his father's wife. And here the pasuk means even someone who is not yet married to his wife, but to his father, but is destined, like his father's yavama. Yeah. Lo yavo pitzua daka uchut shufcha bikala Adonai. The Torah prohibits a person who's psua daka, that his testicles were wounded or mashed, uchut shofcha, or a person who his bris mila, his aver, was sliced in a way that he cannot impregnate. Now these things can be fixed. The Gemara says in their time they knew how to fix it. Uchut shofcha. These things are fixable. Medically, they knew how to fix a chut shofcha. A guy has a problem with his aver. When he goes to the bathroom, he dribbles. It all drips. He can't shoot out, so he won't be able to impregnate his wife. So that way of fixing it then also.
So even if they fix it, he still can't come?
No, once they fix it, he could. Today also there are kids that are born hypospadias, hypospadias, where the limb looks like everyone else's, but the hole could be anywhere. No, so we fix it. Today we know how to fix it. In Chazal's time, there are different ways of fixing it. Okay. Lo yavo mamzer bikal Adonai. A mamzer is not allowed to marry into the congregation of Hashem. Gam dor asiri lo yavo lo bikal Adonai. Even 10 generations mamzer cannot marry a Jewish woman. So a mamzer stuck. Poor guy. What can he do? He did nothing wrong. And mamzer goes by the males or the females.
Ger, he can marry?
Yeah. A ger can marry. Yeah. A mamzer. Lo yavam
on you. Also marry a fellow mamzer.
Yeah, and a fellow mamzer. Yeah. Okay. Lo yavam on you ma'avi bikal adonai. An Ammonite or a Moabite males may not marry into the congregation of Hashem. Gam dor asri lo yavolem bikal adonai adolam. Even 10 generations can't marry into the Jewish people. The male Moabites and Ammonites. And today, from the time of Sancheiriv, the end of the first temple, we no longer know who the Ammonites and Moabites are. Al devarash, why are they not allowed? Because Sancheiriv mixed up the world. They exiled everyone and mixed all the nations. So we say we no longer know who Amalek is, who Ammon, who Moab, who Mitzrayim. Correct.
A question. Lo yivo psua daka avut shufcha kal Hashem. So is that also, kal Hashem is the same phrase. Also,
correct. Excellent point.
They can marry Ger and also
correct.
Mamzer?
Mamzer, I don't think. But a Ger, yes. Or a Giyores, they can marry. Or a female slave who was released, Shifa Knanis, that was released, which is also a form of Gioris. They may marry her because she's not one of the Kahal. So the Torah told us an Ammoni or Moabi may not marry into the Kahal of Hashem. Why? Al devar asher lo kidemu etchem balechem uvamayim, because they didn't greet you with bread and water, but derech betzitchem mimitzrayim, when you were traveling and you left Egypt, and they all are descendants of the first two boys, Ammon and Moab, who are children of Lot. And Lot was an orphan that Avram took in, and Avram saved his life. And then when Sodom was overturned, Lot and his daughters remained alive with the merits of Avram. So these nations come as descendants of Lot, whose whole life they owe to Avram Avinu. And when Avram's offsprings are coming out of Mitzrayim, not only don't they offer us bread and water to sell us, they boycott us. And because they hired Bilam ben Beor mi Petor, from the city of Petor, Aram Naharayim, lekaleleka, to curse you. Velo ava Adonai Elohecha lishmo el vidam, and God did not want to listen to Bilam. Vayafoch Adonai Elohecha lecha ata kelala livracha, and God overturned his curses into blessings. Ki ha'evcha Adonai Elohecha, because God loves you. And here there are two explanations in Chazal. One explanation says that Bilam wanted to curse and God switched the words in Bilam's mouth. And one explanation is that he'd say a curse and God would switch it into a blessing. Everything he said, God switched. But did he manage to get the curse out or not? So there are two different explanations. Because here the pasuk says God overturned it. What does it mean God overturned it? Lo tidrosh elomam betovatam. Do not seek their peace or what's good for them. Kol yamecha leolam, throughout your days forever. David HaMelech messed up on this when his friend, the Ammonite king, passed away. So he sent words of condolence to his son. And his son, when they came, his son, God made it that the advisor said, they're coming here to spy your land. They're not really coming to give condolences. They're coming to spy because they want to attack. So what they did was they cut half their clothing. They sent them home half naked. They cut half their beards. So they came back half naked. And when they did that, a tremendous war erupted. David sent the soldiers and they had a tremendous war, and the Jewish people almost lost everything in that war. We were ambushed and we were taken on two sides, and Ammon hired many soldiers. And God caused all of this. God caused this to happen because David transgressed this commandment. God says, do not seek out their peace. David HaMelech said, I'll go comfort him. His father was the king of Ammon. Yeah, Hanun. He died, and David sent words of condolence to his son. And when those...
His son of Ammon.
Right, the son of the Ammonite king. And God said, who told you to greet them with peace, to send condolence? I told you in the Torah, Lo tidrosh elomam betovatam. I told you, do not seek their good, do not seek their peace. And you're going and sending condolence? I'll show you, it'll turn in your face. And that's what happened. We had one of our worst wars. The one war where we, Mamash almost lost the war, we almost lost everything. That's the war where Yoav tells his brother, Chazak v'nit chazak be'ad ameinu v'ad arei Eloheinu. We have to strengthen ourselves for our nation and for the cities of God, because if we don't strengthen ourselves, even though we're being attacked on two sides, then they, after they finish with us, they're going to destroy Israel. So they went out to war, they were ambushed. Ammon hired many battalions, many armies from different countries, and they all united in war against us. And all of this came because David sent good word out to Ammon. Pasuk Ches, Lo titev adomi ke'achichahu. Do not be disgusted completely with an Adomi, a person from Edom, even though they fought you by war. But don't, why ke'achichahu? Because God says they're your brethren. In some ways you're connected to them, God says, for some reason, do not be totally disgusted with them.
Meaning that they could marry into you.
No. Well, if they become Jews, yeah. If they convert. Yeah. Lo titev mitzri. Do not be completely disgusted with the Mitzrim, even though they killed our firstborns. But kiger ha'ita ve'artzo, you were a guest in their land when you had a time of need. There was a famine in Israel. Right? The Torah always teaches us balance. Banim asher yivaldu lehem dor shlishi, third generation Mitzri gerim, if they became a ger, and then they had a second generation and a third generation, that third generation, yavo lehem bikal Adonai, can marry into the congregation of Hashem.
Mitzri or the Adonai or both?
The Mitzri.
Lahem is Mitzri?
Yeah. When you go out and camp against your enemy, and watch yourself from anything that's bad. So that's a warning. Watch yourself from Motzi Shemra, from speaking Lashon Hara. Watch yourself from looking at a woman that's good looking. Watch yourself from looking at, even at the clothing of a woman. You walk down the street and you see a woman's laundry hanging. You see beautiful clothing on a mannequin. Watch yourself from anything that's bad. Torah tells us, don't even look at animals when they're mating. Watch yourself from anything, mikol davar ra. That encompasses all these things. A person shouldn't think it by day. A person has a dirty thought and he thinks, what's wrong? Chazal say, no. If you allow yourself to have thoughts by day, you'll have a wet dream at night. A person will see tumas keri. So that's biblically prohibited from this pasuk. V'nishmarteh mikol davar ra. Watch yourself from anything that's bad. So that means you have to watch yourself extra. So kitetze machane al oivecha, Chazal said that's when you go out and camp against your Yetzer Hara. So v'nishmarta mikol davar ra, that's a general commandment. Watch yourself. It's not enough that a person says, well, I won't masturbate. That's prohibited biblically, but so is having a dirty thought by day, because Chazal say if a person becomes hard by day, then by day he won't emit the sperm, by night he'll emit the sperm. He'll have a dirty dream by night. So it happens that a person has that once in a while. But that happens, that's normal. But a person is supposed to watch himself all day that he doesn't have dirty thoughts. Once a dirty thought enters his mind, he thinks something else. Chazal say every person, every day, has some thought that's improper. On the one hand, a person can't succumb to the dirty thoughts. On the other hand, there will always be an inkling of something that starts. So a person has to stop it, nip it at the bud, and the Torah tells us that if a person does not, then it's considered like he spilled his seed. And from here we learn out a very important halacha, that hotzat shechvatzera levatala, the emission of sperm for naught, when it's not with one's wife, so that is prohibited not only when one does it directly, but even when one causes it. Anything that would cause it is biblically prohibited as well. Meaning ordinarily in Torah we say the prohibitions of the Torah are direct. If one causes second degree murder, so the courts might take him to task, but biblically he didn't murder. What we call an halacha second degree. But there are ways where a person, let's say, puts someone in a pit, and then he opens the faucet and the water just keeps running and drowns the guy. So that's not called that he murdered him, technically. We might take care of him, we might kill him, we might do things to him, but biblically he didn't murder him. Witnesses could stand there and yell at him, don't do it, you'll get the death penalty. Biblically he does not get the death penalty. If we give him the death penalty, it's just because we want to ensure people don't do it. We might do things like special ruling just for the sake of the public. Sometimes the courts can do that. But technically, he did not murder him. So ordinarily in Torah, we say what you do has to be first degree. It has to be direct. This is one of the places where Torah says, watch yourself. It's going to indicate to us that we have to watch ourselves to the second and third degree. We have to watch ourselves not to do things that will cause it even in the future. And this also encompasses Lashon Hara. Ki yeh v'chaish. How do we know that kol davar ra refers to forms of spilling one seed? Because the next pasuk discusses that. Ki yeh v'chaish, when there'll be a man among you, asher lo yeh tahor, that will be impure, mikre laila, because of something that happens at night. What ordinarily happens at night? A man comes home, he's with his wife, he emits sperm, and that causes him to be tameh. So we don't speak as vulgarly as I just did, unless we have to. So we call it tumat keri, the tumah of happening. because the Torah calls it something that happened at night. We don't go into details. Where we don't have to, we don't spell things out. Where we need to, in order to understand the learning, then we do. So that's why the pasuk speaks like this. It says someone who is not pure. It doesn't say someone who is tameh. Asher lo yiyeh toho, that is not pure. Mikerei laila, from happening at night. Ve'atan michutz lamachane, he goes out of the camp. He is tameh. Lo yavo el toch hamachane, he can't come into the camp. And this is a reference to the camp of the Shechina, Machane Leviya, which would be in our times the Temple Mount. And that's why people who want to go up on the Temple Mount, according to the rabbis that say you could go once you know where you're permitted to go, they have to go to mikveh first to purify themselves from Tumas Keri and also Tumas Ziva. Because here the Torah says, yeah, a person who has this Tumah is not allowed to go into the camp of Hashem.
Which is what?
Which is Machane Leviya. And the correspondence to that is up on the Temple Mount. Provided you know where on the Temple Mount is the Kodesh HaKodashim, Ezras Yisrael. There are some rabbis who hold that we know well enough that you could go up on Har Bayis in certain areas.
If you can't even be inside Machane Leviya, of course you can't be inside the inner room.
Well, Machane Leviya's correspondence is in the Machane Leviya corresponds to, I think the Ezras Nashim. Either the Ezras Nashim or Ezras Yisrael. I think the Ezras Nashim. Machane Leviya corresponds to one of the Azaros. I don't remember of him. So we say that whatever correspondence it is, halachically, I just don't remember which one that is.
I know there's a Machane, the Levim are on three steps that are between the Machane.
One second. We have the Machanot in the desert.
Yeah.
Machane Israel, which corresponds to the cities that are walled, which corresponds to Yerushalayim.
Okay.
And then you have Machane Leviya, Machane Kuna, Machane Shechina. And those machanot divide up to the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Kodesh, Ezras Yisrael, and Ezras Nashim. The correspondence is to the Jews in the desert. I just don't remember exactly which one corresponds to Machane Leviya. V'aya lifnot erev, in the evening, before nightfall, yechatz b'mayim, he'll immerse himself in water, he'll go to the mikveh. U'chavah shemesh, and in sunset, yavo l'toch ha'machane, he could come back into the camp. So the Torah teaches us here that we need he'erev shemesh, we need the sun to set. And then a person becomes pure from keri. It's not enough to go to mikveh. Together with mikveh, we need heriv shemesh. There are certain tumot, and keri is one of them, that after mikveh, a person only becomes tahor when nightfall sets. Yeah? V'yad tiyeh lecha mechutz l'machane, and outside your camp, when you're going to war, you should have a set place, v'yatzata sham mechutz, and that's where you go to the bathroom. And together with your artillery, together with your weapons, you should have a shovel. Every soldier is supposed to have a shovel. And when you go outside to the bathroom, dig with it, and then go back and cover your feces. And from here we derive that when it comes to feces, all it has to be is covered. Meaning, so long as it's covered and provided you don't smell anything, even though it's right next to you, it's okay. So if a kid is sitting with a full diaper, if you don't smell it, it's covered. That's okay. If a person sees human feces, here we're talking about human feces, on the floor, he can't pray next to it. He can't pray so long as he sees it. But if he covers it with a napkin, so long as he doesn't smell it, and he's 4 footsteps away.
Well, it's covered and it's not smelled.
Correct. The question of smell is discussed, but we'll assume that way.
Either.
No, you're allowed to see it. The Ashashit is permitted to read next to it. Yeah, the Torah only says it has to be covered. If you have a piece of feces and it's covered by glass, that's fine. So long as it's covered, it's permitted to be seen. Erva, when it comes to private parts, there you're not allowed to see it. And that's the next pasuk. Ki, Hashem Elokecha mitalech bekerv machanecha. God, Hashem, your God, is traveling amongst your camps. Latzilcha, to save you. Latet ovecha lefanecha. And to give your enemies before you, to help you destroy them. So your camp has to be holy. The Jewish camp, we succeed at war because Hashem is with us. God says, I don't want to see something disgraceful among you. And there I leave you. So here we read this passage, even though v'lo yireh means God says, I don't want to see. We say, lo yireh ervat dibur. The erva, something covered, cannot be seen when one wants to speak holy words. Lo yireh ervat dibur. So for speaking Divrei Torah, you can't see a private part. So if a woman sitting on the bus in the bikini, you're not allowed to speak Divrei Torah. But you are allowed to think the Torah. You're allowed to read the Sefer. It's only Dibur. Let's say she's outside the window. So you'll say, she's covered. She's on the bus. I'm off the bus. We say covering isn't enough. Lo yireh, it cannot be seen. When it comes to tzoah, to feces, once it's covered, v'chisita, even though it's seen, I don't care. The Torah says it just has to be covered. And it makes sense, too. When it comes to erva, the private parts that have to be covered, so there we say, if you want to talk in Torah, it has to be that it's not seen.
But if you're not talking Torah, then even if on the bus, let's say, because it's very common, on the bus.
Yeah.
If you're not talking out loud, then you can learn.
Yes, so long as you're not verbalizing the words of Torah. So long as you're thinking it, yeah. What you could do is just put the Sefer in front of you, and then you don't see it. So long as you don't see it, that's fine. If you shut your eyes, that's fine. Let's say you have to make a bracha. So there you have to verbalize the words. You want to eat something, you have to make a bracha. Close your eyes, and that's fine.
Yeah.
If you want to be a big machmir, then turn around. But you don't have to. It's enough to close your eyes. Very often we have guests that aren't dressed sanuah. So I close my eyes during Kiddush. According to Chassam Sofer, even a woman who's wearing a sheitel, you can't make a bracha next to. She's wearing a wig. So he says that's just like her uncovered here. So sometimes I've guessed that they're wearing a sheitel. So I always am accustomed to look down. I don't see them. I don't see them when I make my blessings. And whenever I can, I shut my eyes. So that's this. So long as you don't see it, you could talk Torah, you could make blessings, you could pray. You with me? Pasuk Tetzain? Or we pause here? So do one more pasuk. When a slave runs away from his master, and he was a slave for another nation, and that nation, they're pagans, and they force him to do idol worship, so this slave, he runs to you, don't give him back. He came.
The pagan nation
that
forced him?
So that's the discussion. Chazal say, maybe if he went from Chutzarts to Eretz Yisrael, if he came from Chutzarts and he comes to Eretz Yisrael and he says, I want to be with you, so don't give him back. Imchai shev b'kilvecha, let him live among you with Jewish people. B'makom sheivchar b'achat sharecha, in the place that he chooses among one of the tribes, betovlo, where it's good for him. Lo tonenu, don't afflict him. You're not even allowed to speak to him in a way that'll hurt his feelings. Torah says,
he's a goy.
What?
And he's a goy.
So that's a discussion. We're talking about the Rambam says that we're talking about a person who wants to become a ger. He comes and says, I want to be a Jew. So the Torah gives a special commandment, don't afflict him even verbally. And don't give him back to his master. If he wants to become Jewish, let him stay. You don't have to interfere in this fight. Lotiye kidesha mibenotis Yisrael. A Jewish girl should not work in prostitution. So Chazal say a person has to watch his daughters and he has to marry them off when they're ready to be married off. And even if it means marrying them off, not to the ideal guy, don't let them grow up and not be married. Chazal said, try to get her married off at the right time to the best guy. And if you see she's getting older and she's not getting married, so marry her off to anyone, but don't leave her as a bachelor. It's not good for a girl to be a bachelor. It's not good for a guy either. But by a girl, Chazal taught us it's the father's responsibility. So first Chazal said, do whatever you can, get her an excellent husband. Get her a Talmud Chacham. If not Talmud Chacham, get her a Tzaddik. Get her someone who's going to do things right and take good care of her. That's your responsibility. Get her a good dowry. Try to make her beautiful. But at the end of the day, you have to ensure she's married. She's not roaming the streets. V'lo yeh kadosh mibnei Yisrael, and also men are prohibited from prostitution. Lo tavi et nan zona, the Torah tells us, if a guy gave a gift to a prostitute, that gift you're not allowed to bring to the temple. Umechir kelev, or if someone used something to purchase a dog, he said, give me that dog, I'll give you my Rolex watch. Lo tavi, do not bring to the temple, etnan, a gift, like matana, zona, that was given to a prostitute. Umechir kelev, or the price you paid for a dog, you tell a guy, here's my Rolex watch for your dog. that Rolex watch he may not bring as a donation Beit Hashem Elokecha to the house of Hashem lechol neder, for any vow that he took to give to the temple, ki tohavat Hashem Elokecha gam shnehim, God finds them both disgraceful. And even if you gave for the dog a bunch of kernels of wheat and the guy ground it into flour, bottom line, God says, I don't want those donations. Okay.